Welcome back to Letterman Row. This is Rapid Reaction, is brought to you by Byers Auto. I am Austin Ward. That is Spencer Holbrook and Jeremy Birmingham. It's Quinn Ewers time. Let's talk about what happened here. A wild 3 months. Name, image, and likeness. A transfer portal entry in the future of the Ohio State quarterback's room. Let's get to it. All right. So it happened. I'm not going to say that I'm blown away that a second Ohio State quarterback entered the transfer portal this week. I think there's going to be a lot of discussion here about what we all thought about the future for Quinn Ewers, but he'd made that decision to leave Ohio State after he wasn't even supposed to be on campus yet. As you can remember, he reclassified, showed up late in August. He barely practiced with Ohio State. He got two snaps, handed the football off twice against Michigan State, and that will be the extent of his career. This all will boil down to, as we start here, and if people saw some of the viral tweets from me or maybe Berm on Friday night, this all boils down to name, image, and likeness situations. And the first part of this that I may have worded poorly was that the specific language in the contract said Quinn Ewers has to start games next year. That there were some that were like that in the initial conversations. The final details in the contract had to have those removed because they were considered, paying for performance and incentives tied to that, and Ohio State compliance couldn't approve that. So for that, I will take ownership of being wrong there. But the overall point that I was making here was that all name, image, and likeness is tied to performance. And in the conversations that the Ohio State coaching staff had with Quinn Ewers and many other people in this industry, agents included elsewhere, believed that Quinn Ewers was making this decision on Friday night to leave because he needed to play. And at its core, you're not going to get paid when you're getting million-dollar contracts, of which he had at least three of them. One was for an NFT that hasn't even been released yet, a third million-dollar contract that Quinn Ewers had. If you're not playing, none of those companies are going to pay you to be a millionaire. That was the point there. Want to make sure that we get that clear. Now, what else do you guys have to take on that before we look at the football impact?
Well, I mean, I think that it just comes down to what you said at the start. This is a kid that wasn't even supposed to be on campus yet. 5 months ago, this was not the plan. He's 3 weeks away from enrolling at Ohio State in a normal world. The name, image, and likeness legislation happening when it did changed the entire calculus of Quinn Ewers' career. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I have the best relationship with Quinn or his father. I had a good enough working relationship with them to understand what their plan was and why they wanted to go to Ohio State, knowing that, you know, Kyle McCord was there and Jack Miller was there and CJ Stroud was there. And that rationale and that reasoning was Ryan Day is the quarterback coach they wanted to learn from. And they wanted to spend 3-4 years in that offense and really developing as a quarterback. And I truly believe that at his heart, that was the intention for Quinn Ewers. And then July 1st happened and the whole world of college football changed and it upset the entire apple cart. And the priorities completely shifted. And with that, you know, you have an obligation. As you said, no one's going to pay anyone for name, image, likeness stuff if they're not playing. So, you know, at the core, every single, agreement that gets made for these kids is based on, are you on the field? Are you being seen? And ultimately, I want to be clear about some things that I said on Friday night. Number one, I'm going to stick if my sources are telling me that Quinn asked for a starting job to be guaranteed to him and that would have kept him around, I'm going to believe him. I mean, I don't care what other people are hearing from their sources. Objectivity obviously is important here and you're dealing with different sides of the story. And, we hear things from some folks who want to protect their reputations and other folks hear it from their folks who want to protect their reputations. And as with most things, I think the truth generally falls somewhere in the middle, but I don't see any other rationale for what happened and this decision to happen now other than that. I mean, to be honest, it just doesn't make sense. We were all objective enough to realize that come post spring 2022, the likelihood was that Quinn Ewers or Kyle McCord was going to be leaving Ohio State. I don't think anyone anywhere believed that wasn't true. So I think the thing that's surprising here is just the timing of it. And I guess the only thing that makes sense about the timing is Quinn realizing I need to go be a starter somewhere. And that the best way to do that is to get there now.
Yeah. And I think one thing that you said, Berm, that I completely agree with is the idea that the intentions were there for him to learn under Ryan Day. Ryan Day is a one-of-a-kind, you know, all-world quarterback coach when it comes to teaching a kid how to get from where he is in college to get to the next level. We've already seen that a couple different times. We're seeing it a third time with CJ Stroud. And so the intentions were there, and, you know, good intentions were had. And when July 1st hit, like you said, and everything changed, you just wonder how much of that mindset changed. And you wonder how much Quinn wanted to be at Ohio State, or how much he wanted to be in the market of college football now. And I think there's a huge difference between that, because, you know, you talk about a recruiting guys, they look for guys who want to be at Ohio State. And at his core, I think Quinn in recruiting wanted to be at Ohio State. But once July 1st hit, it was completely different. It was an entirely new world. And now he's got to find a way to get on the field for that market to become his. And I think all of those things are big factors. And there are just so many different layers of this saga that make it, you know, almost weird that we'll even look back and think that Quinn spent 4 years at Ohio, or 4 months at Ohio State. Yeah,
go back to August and Austin. We've talked about this before. I mean, when he enrolled, Ohio State was as brutally honest as they could be with Quinn Ewers about what the expectation was for 0 year. There was no chance of him playing this year. There was going to be a very limited number of practice reps. This was about coming in and getting physically ready, mentally ready, emotionally ready for college. And, you know, Austin, we've both heard from a number of players that it's not, he didn't try to ingratiate himself to the Ohio State football program really until like the last 3-4 weeks, which is when all of a sudden there became a lot better relationships at Ohio State. And I think that's part of the confusion for a lot of players, most of which didn't find out that he was even leaving until Pete Thamel's tweet on Friday night. So that kind of stuff is what I think upsets people the most on the Ohio State side. Was like, hey, you know, this kid wasn't trying to really be a part of the program. And then when he finally did, then he left.
Yeah, and there are, you know, multiple factors for that at play that we can get into. I mean, he shows up late, and he was involved in a COVID situation and wasn't able, you know, to practice during an already shortened training camp. He had a back injury that he was dealing with throughout the season. In terms of physical and mental preparation, he was a high school senior, and this is not the easiest offense to learn, especially if you're not able to practice it on the field. All those factors played into it, and as you said, part of the reason he got more comfortable and seemed more at ease and potentially ready to go into spring practice was because he got healthy and there were opportunities to get reps. And then Jack Miller wasn't, you know, able to be the third string quarterback anymore. And all those things were trending towards a big spring. But before we get into that, I want to say one more thing about the name, image, and likeness deal. I have absolutely no problem whatsoever with players making money. I think that they should. I think that they deserve it. I think they, most players earn what they get. I think that they should have that, but it's so difficult. And I don't know that this will ever really happen again in the same way that Quinn Ewers did with a, you know, perfect, recruiting ranking and, a mullet that's marketable and all these other things and being the first one to go through the year. If you are an autograph and memorabilia company, if you are whatever, Nike, Gatorade, who cares? Are they going to, they're going to sit there and watch and say, well, why are we giving this kid $2-4 million who's never played a snap? You know, CJ Stroud is just catching up with his. He's going to potentially be a Heisman Trophy finalist next week. All this stuff is being learned for the first time. And in that way, this won't sound right. I feel a little bit sorry for Quinn Ewers, as sorry as I could for somebody who's already made more money from football without taking a snap than I ever could dream of. But he's being pulled in these directions and is a test case for something that everyone was trying to learn on the fly. And I don't know that he got the best advice in that process. I know that some of the decisions he made when he got onto campus in August, he was directly told not to do them and proceeded anyway. And some of that stuff right from the get-go alienated teammates, alienated coaches. This was a, you know, Quinn Ewers made more than his position coach last year. That's crazy to think about. So, you know, I think that it's going to be more challenging than ever to deal with all this stuff. And in a lot of ways, I think the Quinn Ewers case will be one of a kind. We'll see if that bears out or not.
I want to say, though, but, you know, when you're dealing with this, and this is something Ohio State fans specifically are going to have to learn to adjust to. This is the new way of college football. And if you want Ohio State to be one of the top two or three or four programs in the country every single year. These are the shots you have to take, and it's going to sometimes come back and put egg on your face. But Ryan Day and his coaching staff are going to go after the best high school football players in America year in and year out. And these sort of anomalies and blips and you know, unfortunate situations that we're watching unfold right now, especially as Congress especially gets into name, image, and likeness and starts to regulate some of this stuff, these sort of things are just going to be part and parcel of what you're dealing with. Ohio State is not going to look at what happened with Quinn Ewers and say, oh, well, darn it, now we can't recruit good players anymore. We're going to have to, you know, lower our expectations. This isn't what's happening. It's just resetting the calculus for everything that happens in college football. And Ohio State, and I'm sure we can probably talk about this as well in this episode of, you know, Rapid Reaction brought to you by Byers Auto, is that, like, we can understand Ohio State's in a position where they have to adjust a lot of things very quickly here to keep up with what's happening around the country, because other schools are not delaying.
Yeah. So, and then the very last point about that, to pretend like these aren't performance related at its very core, that's what name, image, and likeness is about. Would a walk-on at Kansas, Spencer, have ever got a deal from Applebee's if they didn't perform on the field and catch a 2-point conversion against Texas?
No, not at all. I think you're trying to bring this full circle. We're talking about Quinn Ewers, and then you bring up Texas. Let's get into it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well done. You read my mind. I don't know where he's going to go. It seems likely that's going to come from some of those schools in Texas where that doesn't really matter to our conversation, because now Ohio State, and I had written about this in the afternoon on Friday before things got haywire, that spring position battle was going to be one for the ages between two five-stars and Quinn Ewers and Kyle McCord. Well, one decided not to participate in that. Ohio State has C.J. Stroud, the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year, Big Ten Quarterback of the Year, Big Ten Freshman of the Year, potential Heisman Trophy finalist coming back. He's the starter. In some ways, whether it was going to be Kyle McCord or Quinn Ewers, I think Ohio State benefits from the fact that they get to focus their energy on one backup quarterback. Devin Brown is committed. Berm, you said that he will enroll early, and he will take part of those spring practices as well. Ryan Day wants to have four scholarship quarterbacks, so what that means, you may know better than I do at this point, but Ohio State is still in an incredibly strong position here, not only next year, but into 2023 if Kyle McCord gets to take a little bit more development himself next season.
Yeah, I mean, there is no doubt, and this is where I think the mentality of Kyle McCord and the way he approached things all through last winter and spring and even through this season, even when he struggled a little bit in some playing time towards the end of the year, the first text message that I received on Friday after the Quinn Ewers news dropped was from someone close to McCord who said, Kyle's only going to work harder now. I mean, that's sort of the approach here. It is an opportunity now for Kyle McCord to be the unquestioned starter 2 years from now. And then, you know, potentially for 2 years after that, or maybe even one, who knows, but I don't expect there to be any complacency. And I do think that actually the commitment of Devin Brown, who apropos of nothing was ranked by every single major national recruiting network ahead of Quinn Ewers at the Elite 11 in July.
I think that's apropos of something.
I mean, it's apropos of nothing. It's just, you know, whatever. It's just a funny little point. Those two were supposed to be in the same class. And in that specific time in an event more catered to a player like Devin Brown, he outperformed him. Says nothing of viewers on the field in game time situations, but it's funny nonetheless. You know, I think for Kyle and for Ohio State, it does help alleviate some of the development clamps that could happen in that hose of how do you get from where you are now to how do you get to be ready to be the guy if CJ gets hurt next year. So I truly believe that that's a benefit for Ohio State. As far as what they're going to do recruiting-wise, as you said, Ryan Day does want four scholarship quarterbacks. They're not going to have four scholarship quarterbacks, at least until the end of spring, and maybe until next August if they can find a Chris, you know, Chuganoff type in the transfer portal that, you know, is a guy that can come in and just kind of be a veteran statesman in the room. But they're not going to look at another 22 quarterback, and they're not going to look at making a move in the transfer portal at least until the summer.
I wonder if this kind of changes, we've used this word a lot, it kind of changes the calculus for Ryan Day in thinking that four quarterbacks is a necessity on the roster. He had four this year. It obviously didn't go terribly well, just based on the fact that there's two of them were already gone within a week of each other. And there was just, you know, constant whispers and groans and moans and rumors about this quarterback room. You just wonder, you know, if Ryan Day sits back and thinks maybe three is enough, And I know that that's difficult to change as a coach. You know, coaches are very, I'm not saying Ryan Day is bullheaded, but you know, especially with their position, you know, Ryan Day is a quarterback coach at heart. He wants to be able to coach four quarterbacks, but you just wonder how much this changes everything. And, you know, they basically went through it with three this year. You know, Quinn was told that he was never going to play. There was four scholarship quarterbacks on board, but only because he decided to come early, there wasn't going to be four. And so I think this might change the way Ryan Day thinks. Maybe he understands that three is maybe the max that you can have on a roster in the days of NIL and in the days of the transfer portal and of, you know, schools potentially tampering with players who are sitting on your bench, you know.
Hey, that never happens.
But, I mean, it's just the reality of
it. We're
talking in very specific realities here, and that's just the reality of what college football is right now. And so I think when you look at this, three quarterbacks is going to be enough moving forward for Ryan Day. Maybe he doesn't think that way, but I think that he's going to come around to that idea.
Probably what you'll find are more guys like JPN, Andrade, you know, 2 to 3 star guys who can take a preferred walk-on spot and benefit from that time and want to be at Ohio State and just around that. That could be your fourth. You know, you can't, I don't think you want to ever have no security beyond those three. But your point is very well said there, Spencer. And you also, I think, have said multiple times on the Letterman Row message board and maybe elsewhere that you thought Kyle McCord would beat out Quinn Ewers in the spring anyway. So I think you just already win. So we'll pat you on the back for that right now.
I'll take that, Pat, because I saw both of them a little bit. McCord, obviously, I saw operate a little more. I just, you know, when a guy works that hard, he grinds that hard, and you've got a, you know, an NFL arm, an NFL work ethic, there's just something about him that makes him seem a little different, a little special from a lot of other guys. And he's a special talent. I'm excited to see what he can do now with the full focus on him, because, you know, a lot of this has been unfair to Quinn Ewers coming in a year early and doing all of those things. And, you know, he is a millionaire now, so it's hard not to, you know, be a little more difficult on him than everyone else because he's a paid athlete now. But I think Kyle McCord really got the short end of the straw here, because you're talking about a kid who comes in as a 5-star and is immediately after the spring overshadowed by a fellow 5-star who he believes he's better than. And, you know, he's an athlete. He's a competitor. Like, he doesn't think he's worse than Quinn Ewers. And so I really think that this is a chance for people to fully focus on what he can do moving forward, because he's really special at what he does.
Berm, didn't you think that Spencer was going to go into the Gruden impression when he was talking about the grinder there?
I thought he was. Here's a guy who's a Gruden grinder. No, look, man, I mean, the situation
That's not the impression.
I'm terrible at impressions. No, the reality is Ohio State is going to be fine. Quinn Ewers is going to be fine. And people are going to turn this into a bigger picture issue with Ohio State. Oh, Ryan Day's losing control. I mean, come on, folks. The stuff that I'm seeing on social media saying that Ryan Day needs to move on, like, this is really – really not a situation where Ohio State did anything wrong. And people need to back off the ledge just a touch and realize that we're entering an unknown territory, an unknown world of college football. And a lot of it is going to be very concerning to fans as it happens more and more. But there is a moment here for Ohio State. And I think it kind of just piggybacks off of the Michigan game and people being frustrated. And Ohio State is going to have to reassert itself inside of its own program. Is the program, the brand of Ohio State is bigger than players, and you know, we are in the player empowerment era, and the, you know, this time when the players have a lot of control about what they do and the free transfers and all this stuff and the name, image, and likeness. But at the end of the day, if you're at Ohio State, Ohio State has to come first. And I think that the Buckeyes are in a position right now, from an administrative standpoint, where they're going to need to make sure that parents and players understand that, hey, you're here because you want to be part of a football team, not because of your own self-interest.
All right. There's probably a lot more that we could say about that, but we'll save some of that for Letterman Live on Monday at Roosters. This has been Rapid Reaction. It's brought to you by Byers Auto. Digging into that Quinn Ewers situation, it's endlessly fascinating, and we'll be talking about it probably for months and years to come. But Sunday afternoon, we'll find out where Ohio State is going for the bowl game. We'll prepare our month of coverage for you coming for that at Letterman Row. Looks like most likely the Rose Bowl, but we'll find out at 2:30 on Sunday. We'll be in the Woody for that. Ryan Day will be speaking to the media at that time, so I'm sure he'll get some questions about this quarterback situation as well. We'll be there. That's Berm and Spencer. I am Austin. This has been Rapid Reaction. It's brought to you by Byers Auto. Thanks for watching.